I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Christian Arcand Show here, WEEI. We're going to do nightly news, but Bradfo's here, so I feel like we got to skip it. It was going to be about that stupid country show and how the guy gave away free cruises to everybody. What was his name? Zach Brown. Actually, I like Zach Brown.
Zach Brown.
I was thinking of Zach Bryan. That's the one I don't like.
They asked me the other day who hasn't or refused to take a Baseballs and Boring t-shirt.
Zach Brown refused?
Zach Brown took the t-shirt, but would not pose with the t-shirt.
Oh, oof.
Like, come on. Like, come on.
Come on, Zach.
Give me my t-shirt back.
Yeah, really.
And people are supposed to accept the cruise line tickets he's offering?
Yeah, come on. Joe Braverman, it's good to see. That's another thing that's getting me fired up, too.
Braverman being here? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that fro is big right now, too. I mean,
Joe,
that thing is growing. Yeah,
look at that.
That thing is magnificent.
His videos are red hot.
No question.
Joe,
Brand has never been hotter.
What grade would you give the Red Sox? I don't mean to ask. So.
I'll give it a B. Solid B.
Okay.
I like
Have you done
grades? I graded an A-.
Ooh!
Yeah. I went A-, and it wasn't even necessarily because I love Eric Miller, or I do like Adley Rutschman, but it's I bumped it up a little bit because, to me, the biggest story here and the thing I'm most encouraged by is that they actually went through with it. There was, I'm sure, a million reasons not to, and that it probably, when they punched it into the computer, said, don't make this trade, the value's in the prospects, Rutschman's not worth it, and they said, nope, we're going with what's best for this team right now. We're going to upgrade right here. We're not going to shy away. We're not going to let the Yankees swoop in and steal them away from us. We're going to keep Arias. We're going to keep Toley. We're going to keep Bennett. We're going to keep all these guys. And that, I think, is worth celebrating. I do. I think that is a departure from the way they generally do business at the deadline, going all the way back beyond Craig Breslow to Chaim Bloom, except the 1 year with Schwarber, and even that, he was damaged goods at the time. So I'm very encouraged by the fact that, yeah, they got squeezed a little bit, but they decided it was worth it instead of just shying away and doing what they always do at the deadline. That, to me, is good. That's positive.
I agree with everything you said. I'm going to add something to it that will enhance the grade, which is, can you imagine, Christian, if the Yankees got Adley Rutschman?
I'd be devastated.
Right.
Especially if it came out the Red Sox were right there and could have had him.
People are, and maybe this is the wrong way to look at it. Luis Garcia.
Garcia, yeah.
You see some of the highlights, and you're like, oh, my goodness, he's going to play in Yankee Stadium, and he might have a bigger impact. But the image of Adley Rutschman, for whatever reason, being dropped into the Yankees, a position that they supposedly were prioritizing above any other, and having that impact on both, you know, in terms of clubhouse, on the field, at the plate, whatever it is, that would be, to your point, that would be devastating. And I think that the Red Sox, why that wasn't their chief motivation, it was a byproduct of it, and I think that was a really, really important part of it. And I'm with you, man. Like, I just look at it as the World Series thing. You keep saying in the offseason, the World Series, this was our goal, this is our goal, this is our goal. And they did. This put their money where their mouth were. And nobody – and the other part about this, I don't know of any of the players that were traded that – fit in terms of what you needed in terms of a personality more than Rutschman.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, and I don't know if I'm articulating that right the right way, but
I know what you mean. I mean, know how he was regarded in Baltimore.
Right. And so this was the tricky. This was the needle they have to thread, that you had this team that was on an unbelievable heater. You had this thing that was working so well. And so now, yeah, sure, you want to add, but what do you add, and is that going to disrupt things? So what does that look like? Because you don't want to take away things from that element, and whatever you put in has to vibe with everything else, and there's not going to be a single player in that clubhouse when Adley Rutschman walks in and say, no, you aren't part of us. You have to earn your way. No, everybody in there, there's not a player in there who is going to care about Kyson Witherspoon, Anthony Ianson, or any of us, or even Narvaez. Narvaez is a popular guy, But I'm going to be honest with you. He was sort of on the outside looking in, it seemed like, all this year because he ultimately became a third catcher, and you can't really have the impact that you want both on the field and also as the leader that we thought he was going to be last year as the third catcher behind Mickey Gasper. So, yeah.
Was this package that they ended up getting Rutschman for offered for other players, do you think? Like shortstops?
Like for like a Scooble or like...
No. For like De La Cruz or, you know, Abrams or Neto or those type of guys.
I can't definitively say, but I think...
Because that's what they were looking for initially, right? That's what all the reports said.
Yeah, well, the Abrams thing, I think you had to probably include Arias, right?
Okay.
And that obviously wasn't done. What's interesting about this is that Breslow dealt with a guy he was very familiar with in Mike Elias, who he played baseball with at Yale. And people say, well, who cares? It matters. It's the same thing where he dealt with Toboni. Like, he felt comfortable. They spoke the same language. They knew each other. So you have that element of it. And then you also had the element of that Breslow was clearly okay understanding that we're going to keep the pitching prospects coming, but we're not necessarily in a position where we can keep the position prospects coming because we don't have any. Like, they've drafted 80% pitchers over the last couple of years. Good for them. They developed them. Now they can trade them. But he understood that.
Yeah, he certainly did. And that's part of the reason why I'm not so worried about, I know it's three of their top five prospects, but two of them being pitchers, the two main ones being sort of, you know, like pitching prospects, I'm not as worried about because I have faith in this organization to be able to keep cranking pitchers out.
We can't be hypocrites.
Yeah.
We cannot be hypocrites. And the reality is that when you make these deals, we've seen it with Chris Sale.
Yep.
We've seen it with, you know, even Crochet, good for the Chicago White Sox, Braden Montgomery, Chase Meidroth, Kyle Teal, all going to be good major leaguers. No question about it. But the Red Sox are surviving without them. And, you know, you still would want Garrett Crochet despite what's happening this year. It's the same thing here. Like, this not obsessed with what you're giving up. What, and this is the one thing, I don't know if you played Breslow, if you listen to Breslow, but to me.
We did.
Yeah, to me, like, the biggest takeaway was how he had a different approach, where it's like, instead of waiting, they said, these are the guys we're targeting, and we're going to try to get them. Good for you, Craig Breslow. He has learned his lessons, and because of it, we get these deals, not only this deal, but the Curtis Mead deal.
Yeah, which I liked at the time, too. I mean, you know, obviously I don't like it now, but I liked it when he did it, and I thought that was another good risk worth taking. I like that he's taking risks. I like that the organization is taking risks for a team like this, because I think this turnaround here, if you had let the deadline come and go with just Mead really being your only move, like Mead and Eli White, you know, and Eric Miller from Marcelo Meyer, that would have really, I don't know if that would have stunted the momentum of the team, but the excitement and the buzz and the fans and all of that, I mean, that would have definitely been a major downer as far as all that's concerned, because everybody else got better. The White Sox, the Yankees, the Rays, everybody else added.
Yeah, there's no question that they had to keep they knew that they had to add.
Yeah,
and that's when you have the Curtis Mead thing. But you had to keep the momentum going, and you can't keep thinking. And the one thing that I am a little wary of, I give like a B, maybe a B+, and much like the great Joe Braverman, because they didn't protect themselves in starting pitching, and they didn't protect themselves at shortstop. As much as I love Andrew Monasterio and love posting the picture of him wearing his No S Arbrillo shirt every single minute I can.
He's been awesome.
He has been awesome.
Yeah.
But you have to protect yourself. Like, usually you have more certainty at that position heading into the postseason. So
can't you just have him and Chang do it for the rest of the year?
You would think. But again, like, these things sort of come to their levels a lot of time. I'm not saying that that's absolutely going to happen, but this is the reason why they were looking at shortstops. And the starting pitching thing also, you know, you have two rookies. You don't know how they're going to get through a season. You have 36-year-old Sonny Gray. You have Ranger Suarez, who has had injuries, stuff. It could work out, but you didn't protect yourself.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, like, it was a failure, but all I'm saying is that those things could crop up again.
Yeah, for sure. And it seemed like it was a lot easier to get a pitcher at this deadline than to get a bat. I mean, just based off of who moved and for what.
Yeah, not like a Joe Ryan pitcher, but
Tarik Skubal didn't go for much. You know?
Well, I mean, it, everyone says, well, could you have done this deal for Tarik Skubal? Well, first of all, you know, Skubal's half a year, so it's a little bit different. But also, it's different players, it's different evaluations. Like, the Zaire Hope, there was no Zaire Hope. The Red Sox had no Zaire Hope. And let's just, I don't know, like, that seems like a t-shirt. but River Ryan, like, they probably saw him better than Kyson Witherspoon or Anthony Ianson. So, anyways. So.
Okay. 617-779-7937. Brad Foe is here. We'll talk to the people. Brad Foe, if you'd like to, we'll start with our guy from Red Sox Review. This guy's a superstar in Red Sox Review and in all walks of life. Casper and Worcester. Go ahead, Casper.
Hi, Christian. Christian, the Red Sox improved their biggest weakness offensively and defensively at catcher. He's involved in every play defensively, and it's a great thing because that was their weakest position offensively and defensively. And they're not going to upset the apple cart and have it turn into a pumpkin. We don't want that to happen.
Right.
Now, with that said, I want to let you go.
Okay.
But can you chisel in the name of Mikey Adams on that Mount Rushmore? I'll let you go.
All right. We'll get Mikey up there. John Ryder as well, who is the reason I even work here, John Ryder. Did you know that?
No.
John Ryder. So at the time, Cindy, if you're listening, earmuffs, I was seeing someone who worked at the Grand Canal. You remember that bar down on Canal Street?
Yes.
And Ryder was a regular there. And she goes, hey, you know, thank you. And she goes, hey, you know, John Ryder comes in sometimes. Come in, and I'll introduce you guys. And so we did, and he got me going over at Metro, and I started doing the Sports Flash, and that's how I got my foot in the door. That's how I started working here.
John Ryder, yeah, I think he kept saying I'm related to him. So I believe, yeah. Going back to Governor William Bradford, which was great street credit Thanksgiving, until it wasn't. So, by the way, upset the apple cart before it turns into a pumpkin.
Yes, I like that. It was a nice mixed metaphor.
I'm gonna be thinking about that for a while, staring at the ceiling. So
I enjoyed that one, Casper. Good one. That was a jewel from
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Casper there.
What did Boston give up here to get Adley Rutschman?
I mean, I can't tell you what I said when I heard about this trade. We have to get another 7, maybe 14 seconds of delay. This is a wild overpay on the face of it. Now, you can do all the caveats of, well, these teams know these players better than anybody else. Who knows how this is going to work out? Maybe they know some stuff we don't know. Maybe they're being aggressive. But this seems like Baltimore had a high price on Rutschman. The Red Sox really needed to add a power hitter after losing Mead. They traded, if we're talking rough rankings on a top 100 list, Anthony Ianson, roughly 50th on the list. Azekar, roughly 100th on the list. And then Witherspoon, roughly 150th, just off the list with a chance. He was preseason on the top 100. They got 3 real guys plus a big league catcher for a guy in Rutschman whose value was down last year, has come back this year. This seems like Boston really pushed some chips in to the point where some people in the industry are wondering how they ended up with this being the package.
All right, that's Kylie McDaniel from ESPN, who I swear to God I've never seen before. I've never seen this guy before.
Have you heard him?
No. I've never seen nor heard of this person ever in my life, but whatever. He's on ESPN.
He's a prospect guy.
Yeah, says ESPN Insider. 52,000 followers. I mean, that's a good amount. And he was on there talking about the Adley Rutschman deal, which one of your colleagues on the beat, Sean McAdams, said he heard from somebody that they called it the most ridiculous trade of the last 30 years. Why? What's with the reaction to this? And is that from the industry people you've talked to, sort of the common sentiment about this?
Yeah, the perception is that they gave up a lot more than anyone thought you would have to give up for Adley Rutschman. And I would warn them, say, yeah, well, that's the cost of doing business at the trade deadline.
Right.
And this prospect hugging is, as you point out, like, this is the problem. Like,
at night we call it prospect humping.
Yeah. After dark.
Yeah.
So Kylie McDaniel, he's a prospect guy. So he's seeing like all these guys. So he's rattling off numbers and where these guys are ranked. Well, it's subjective. As much as they want to say it's scientific, it's subjective. Right. It's the same reason why people say, well, how did they trade that for Tarik Skubal? Well, it's because Detroit valued those guys like they valued those guys. And And the Orioles valued those guys. They needed pitching. The Red Sox had the pitching. They gave it up. It is what it is. And yeah, for Adley Rutschman, for a year and a half of Adley Rutschman, who's hurt and has been broken down and it isn't the player that he had been, it seems a lot. When I saw the deal, I said, wow. I did not expect, most notably, both Tyson Witherspoon and Anthony Eisen to be in this deal. But at the same time, it's the cost of doing business. Do you want to win a World Series or not? As they said, nobody in that clubhouse is caring about Tyson Witherspoon or Anthony Harrison. Yes, I know nobody. Joe Braverman's on the float or on the duck boat. There's no question about it. Right? Correct?
I expect an invitation when they win it all.
And by the way, on the short list,
I'm not going to hold my breath.
Joe Braverman on the short list of people who may catch Joe Kelly first pitch on Baseball's
Ooh.
A Boring Night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What a carrot to dangle out there. Huh?
Yeah. September 2nd.
Don't tempt me, Fresco. Don't tempt
tell
me.
Tell him to throw like 100 miles an hour.
Well, he just did one at Dodger Stadium. It was workshopping for September 2nd.
How hard can he throw still, would you say?
Probably like mid 90s.
Probably touch. Like
I mean, his
95,
shoulder would like fall off. But yeah. But he did it at the Dodger Stadium the other night. Again, all road lead to September 2nd. Baseball's important.
All right, Braverman's got to wear a catcher's mitt too. Okay, you got to wear a catcher's mitt, not like a regular glove.
Say catch the first pitch, actually, what it is, Joe, is that you're putting the word Austin on the back of your jersey, and he's going to hit you, and you have to fake fight him. All right, so that's what you have to do.
Real fight.
You're telling me I have to go charge Joe Kelly.
Yes, and then he's going to kick the crap out of you.
Pretty good.
Yes,
he is.
Yeah, so it's anyway. My overall point was, it kind of drives me nuts to say, oh, you overpaid. It's the same thing with Curtis Mead, the Conley early deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That was an overpay.
You overpaid. Yeah. Fine, but he'll worry about what you're getting, not what you're giving up.
Yeah, now what you're getting here with Adley Rutschman is a guy who's certainly, you know, a name that we all know. But also a guy who this year has a bum wrist, has only really had one good month, and is coming off of a season where he barely played 90 games. So, you know, like, there's questions about Rutschman, too, right?
Sure.
I mean, he's not a sure thing.
Well, that's why the people who are brought up, oh, are you going to start negotiating or talking about contract extension? Like, why would you do that? Like, no. First of all, you don't
let him earn it, right?
Yeah. a season next year. And second of all, no, it is undeniably trending in a different direction than it was a couple of years ago. But that doesn't mean he isn't a valuable, useful player right now as part of the solution more than part of the problem.
Yeah, what I would like to see is just a repeat of what Schwarber did, and then at the end they extend them instead of just letting them go like they did with Schwarber.
Yeah, I mean, that to me seemed like a better fit. Again, as a catcher who has gone through a lot of physical issues, Adley Rutschman is an all-star this year. Like, let's not forget that. The wrist thing, it better be good. That's undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is good, then you want this guy on your team in a lot of different ways, including the clubhouse.
Yeah, Kylie McDaniel, big night. He's on ESPN right now during this Giants game. So there you go. Big night for Kylie McDaniel. It's his breakout night.
Most importantly, Christian Arkin knows who he is now.
From now.
Yeah.
Now you're on the map.
You're on the radar.
All right. 617-779-7937. Let's take a call here. Carol is in Wayland. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi.
I've listened to WEEI a lot.
Thank you.
I know people are questioning Roman Anthony's injury and his, willingness to gut through it and come back.
Yeah, people are doing it.
I just wanted to say, about a year ago, I fell on the stairs and was breaking my fall with my hands, and I severed a tendon in my right pinky finger. And a year later, I still can't straighten out my finger. I've seen an occupational therapist and a hand surgeon,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to deal with it. I'm a violinist, and I can't grip.
I was going
to
say, what was your OPS last year? that was going to be my big question. You're a violinist, and you can't grip the violin. Carol, I'm going to assume, and don't take this the wrong way, I'm going to assume you're older than 22?
Yes.
Okay, so, and you're not a professional athlete, and I thank you for the call, but I think that's kind of a tough comparison.
I don't know. I mean, you need your pinky to play the violin.
Also, Roman Anthony didn't fall down the stairs, okay? He swung a bat and fouled off a pitch is what happened. Like he didn't get hit.
He tore his thing. He tore his ligament.
He didn't get hit with a pitch like Curtis Mead. Like, you know, just
so
fouled off a pitch.
The Roman, all roads lead from violinist to this conversation about the trade deadline. But with Roman Anthony, you can say what you want. Everyone can say, hey, he should be back. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to, if he feels like he cannot swing a bat, and then what is the point of worrying about whether or not he's going to play? If he swings a bat and he feels like he can actually be productive, then good. There you go.
Right.
Like, that's the part of it I don't understand. We can talk about pain tolerance. It doesn't make it any difference. Either you have him or you don't.
Right.
And they still don't know if they're going to have him. And I think that's how they went to this deadline thinking.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that it does lead to a bigger question maybe about Roman Anthony. But as far as this season's concerned, that's not, you know.
Think about this,
right,
Christian. It is crazy to think. You go back to spring training in 2025.
Yeah.
The big three.
Mm.
Christian Campbell, Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer. And where we've landed with this.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's really, really wild. Did Marcelo Meyer get traded because he's a bad influence on Roman Anthony?
No.
Not at all?
No.
That had nothing to do with it?
No.
They didn't want him out of here.
Who?
Marcelo Meyer. They didn't want Meyer
I think they weren't convinced him as a player. And whether it's the vibe that he gave off as a player.
Well, then why not send him to the minors and let him figure it out and then call him back up in a year?
Because this is...
Why trade him? That's different.
Right. No, I understand.
Yeah.
Like, but they don't believe him as a player. Like, so you send him to the minors. Okay, you send him to the minors. You're going to devalue
him. He's played 114 games, Bradford. That's not enough time to decide if your guy can play or not.
I'm with you, but okay. I'm just telling you how they thought. And then you could say, well, you know, like, once again, if you told me that Marcelo Meyer was going to be traded for a lefty reliever, I'm like, even waking up this morning,
right,
I'd be like, that's crazy. But they said, in their world, I'm telling you how they feel. They said, we're going to get this high-leverage reliever who strikes out a bunch of guys, who has a million years of control.
Walks a lot of guys, though.
And walks a lot of guys, yeah. But we like him. We're going to fix that. And we're going to do that. And the way that we're going to get that guy is even if this guy was drafted fourth overall, that we don't think that he's part of our solution going forward. And it comes back to this. It's a microcosm of this entire trade deadline where it's not about next year and not about the year after that. It's about they have this opportunity to win now, and this reliever is going to help them do that.
Was Roman on the table for the right deal?
No. Well, I mean, the right deal being Bobby Witt, probably, but not. I don't believe the other. Like, C.J. Abrams, to me, came down to Franklin Arias.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't even know if Paul DeBoney was making him that available, to be honest with you. But the Roman Anthony thing, people forget how good Roman Anthony is.
I know, yeah.
Right?
It's easy to forget. We haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, well, and begin this year, he was supposed to be the Shohei Ohtani of this team, hitting leadoff, you know, carrying the team. And that was the problem with the construction of the team. There was no safety net for that, and that's why you suffered. So, yeah, if you were going to get a Bobby Witt, you had to include a Roman Anthony, and you should. Absolutely. And now it's going to be really, really interesting. Out of nowhere, are we going to all of a sudden see Roman Anthony pop up and start swinging the bat, all of a sudden be part of the equation? Another guy?
His finger magically heals now.
The news this week about you actually, it seems like a minuscule thing, but it's a big thing. Actually, you're actually hitting a ball off a tee because it took you months to do that.
Just to grip the bat. Yeah.
Right. And so now you're doing it. And so you have that. Is that going to happen? Is Trevor Story going to happen? Is Tanner Houck actually going to be like part of this equation?
Talk about guys you haven't seen in a
right,
while.
But you know, as Joe knows, because Joe follows this, like, oh, look, he's on the phone. He's on the phone.
Joe's busy.
But it's Tanner Houck could
talking
actually be part of this equation. Like, yeah, what are you, don't use your street cred just because now you may be hit by a pitch on September 2nd. Don't be calling around saying, hey, Mom. You never know. Guess what just happened to me?
Bradfield, great to see you, buddy.
Oh, man. I'm so glad I came in.
I'm glad you did, too.
Yeah.
This wouldn't have been the same as a phone call, I don't think.
No. And I felt bad immediately when you said it. You should have guilted me into it. Absolutely.
All right.
In any place that is still serving food after 9 o'clock on the way home to Beverly.
I'll give you some suggestions. I know some places you can go.
Route 1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Route 1. I know a place right around the corner you can go.
Yeah, but
you ever been to the Avenue?
I haven't had a carb in 5 years.
Oh, well.
And also, I feel really...
Avenue's out there.
Yeah. The red eye flight makes you feel worse about everything.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, great to see you. You're doing an awesome job.
Great to see you, too. That is Rob Bradford. Baseball Isn't Boring. WEEI.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.